You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
All right, Lucy is starting here. We are going to talk about the Beatles.
Actually, no, we are not. While you were gone,
things changed while I was gone. All right,
we're going to talk about the article in the Cut about the lady who put.
Here we go.
In the Cut. What does that mean?
What the hell?
No, because I know.
Okay, save it for the show. Save it for the show.
I thought we were already on air. I thought you guys were going already. We were going to talk the Beatles, but the whole thing got sabotaged because Lucy and Jessica and Amin are going crazy about one story that Tony knows about, but I think Roy, Chris, and I are in the dark about. So help us out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically last week, this story started trending on Twitter of this woman who's like a financial writer, like that's her entire job, and how she got scammed. Let me just read the headline. The day I put $50,000 in a shoebox and handed it to a stranger. I never thought I was the kind of person to fall for a scam. This story was crazy.
Insane.
This woman basically got like a text message from Amazon that was like, oh, someone's like hacked into your account and has your info. They call her, they give her name and like her social security number. She's like, well, this has to be real. And they were like, we are with the FBI, the CIA. Someone is using your social security number. She's like logged into her account. She's like, I don't really see anything. I don't know anything that's going on. But they had enough personal information about her that she was like, you know, you've got a good point here. This is absolutely happening. And they were like, well, how much money do you have in your savings account? And she told them, and they were like, well, take out the money that you would need for a month, but you cannot tell your husband. And she's like, why can't I tell my husband? I trust my husband. And they're like, your husband will get implicated if he finds out about this. And she's like, you know what?
Stupid.
And her whole job is to teach people like not to do this.
She's like a financial advice columnist. Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, no.
So
she's got to get fired.
She goes to the bank and she takes $50,000 out. This is all happening in one day, by
cash.
The way. Cash. And like,
what's the limit on?
No,
it's a fair question. There's a lot of questions, but Lucy, please finish. Please finish the story.
So she takes the money out. She still hasn't told her husband. And so they were like, okay, we're going to have somebody drive by and you'll just walk out, give us the cash so that we can put it in like bonds or something that will like be able to come back to you so it's not traced. It was insane. And she was like, are you sure? Like, you sure I can't tell my husband? And they were like, yeah. Like, you can't. She's like, well, it's Halloween. I have to take my kid trick-or-treating. And she's like, and they were like, just don't get your kid involved. It's fine. So this woman, she goes, finds a shoebox, puts the $50,000 in the shoebox. They pull up, goes up to a van. They roll down the window. She hands them the $50,000, walks back up the stairs and is like, oh, that might have been a bad idea. I might have just got scammed. Then she told her husband, and he was like, yeah, obviously that was a scam. What are you talking about? Like, the government isn't, wow. like, trying to take this money from you. She ends up, like, reaching out to the FBI, the CIA, whatever, and they're like, yeah, we're never going to ask you to do that. And well, then she was like, I got to write this down, and I got to share it with
Tony, what have you written down?
I've written down a couple things, Dano, as financial writer. I don't know. Needs to be fired, by the way.
Yeah.
Number one rule. Federal agencies, IRS, CIA, FBI, will never call you or text you telling you to do something. Mm-hmm. Ever. Never. That's one. Two, as Amin and I said in our personal
show,
they break down the door with windbreakers.
Yep. That's how
they don't call. They break the door down.
That's how they contact you. Windbreakers.
It did lead to a whole variety of follow-up questions, because my initial thought, also, Chris Cody said, isn't there a limit to how much cash you can withdraw from a bank? Like, I would I don't know, because first of all, having like $50,000 like liquid that you can withdraw is a lot of money.
You think there's a limit? I don't know. I'm not sure how wealthy this person otherwise is.
She had $80,000. She told the person who was pretending to be a CIA agent. A CIA agent.
That's my favorite part.
On the phone with her, who was connected to her via Amazon. Air quotes, Amazon. Told them she had $80,000. That was her entire life savings. She's, I think, a 40-year-old woman with a kid and a husband and lives in Brooklyn. And he said, what Lucy said, like, take out what you need for a year. And so she took out $50,000, and he was like, take out $50,000. She's like, okay, I will. So she took out $50,000 and one withdrawal at the bank, like, went and talked to a banker in person. They gave her the money. And I didn't even think that was a thing that could happen.
I don't think there are limits, but I do think they will call managers over for approval at $5,000 or $10,000.
And maybe ask some follow-ups.
Yo, I just love the idea of Jack Ryan working for the CIA. I'm taking a break from destabilizing a foreign government to let you know that Amazon account might have been hacked, so I need your money now. How does that make sense? Is she... CIA? So, she's a moron.
Well,
it's official. Yeah. You're a moron.
She's gullible. She clearly was very vulnerable and paranoid and fell for it. And like, to be, I guess, like, this is where I found myself over the last week after I read this story, because there's a lot of people falling on, like, two sides of this debate. Like, I got in an argument with my friend Priya right after I read this, because Priya was like, this woman's an idiot. And I was like, I still feel bad for her, though. Like, even though she did something that I couldn't fathom doing or fathom anyone I know being gullible enough to do, I still feel bad. And Priya's like, I don't. And parts of it was because in this article she wrote about how, like, the most common people that get scammed are uneducated and lonely and poor. And she's none of those things. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's kind of icky. And so there was a lot of like gray area here and people not really knowing if they should empathize or not knowing if it's fair to call her an idiot.
Amin will almost always fall on the line of crushing anybody who's got so little street smarts that they get suckered by a dumb scam. Amin is almost fundamentally incapable of showing that person any compassion.
It's incomprehensibly stupid.
I once asked, like, oh, you know what the worst thing about these scams are with the emails or whatever? Like, I'm a Nigerian prince and da da da. I said, the number of misspellings and stuff. They can't even be bothered to spell it all right. And someone pointed out to me, like, no, they do that because they know if you even entertain it for a second with all these misspellings, you definitely have a sucker on the line. So saying, hey, I'm with the CIA, and she says, go on, they automatically know.
But Amin also has, I believe, an acidic hostility to, if you're gullible, this gullible, you've learned nothing. Life's been too easy for you if you're still this naive that you have 50,000. If I feel like I can speak for Amin when I say, if that $50,000 can be taken from you that easily, you don't deserve to have it.
This is Rich, though, coming from a show that gets scammed by fake tweets once a week.
I extend to all the stupid people that kind of compassion. I
feel different, me too. So, Dan.
I'm talking about Amin here, not me.
You're not putting $50,000 in a shoebox and hanging it over to somebody on Twitter.
Oh, but I can feel.
I agree with you. I'm kind of trying to play devil's advocate here because, like I
tweets,
said,
you know,
incomprehensibly
stupid.
There could
be an orca here. I don't know.
Two.
Have compassion for stupid people.
I can be scammed this way. I have recently been scammed.
If somebody asks you for 50 grand, call me.
Tell us your scam.
I'll figure it out.
What?
Better yet, give me the 50 grand and let me negotiate with them.
Exactly.
I'll figure it out for you.
Exactly.
And if they're above board, I'll say, hey, Dan, you know what? They were cool. I gave them the money. They were with the CIA, by the way.
I'm going to tell you, coming home, my wife is vastly more street smart than I am. I am a sucker for somebody who needs some help. And... I can be gullible, and so I've rarely felt quite as vulnerable as when I came home and told her the following story. And her response was to look at me and just say, "You've been scammed," and it undressed me. My clothes should have just fallen straight to the floor.
I love this story already.
In shriveled up shame, because I felt good about what I had done, but I'm coming up on. I'm coming onto the highway from an exit ramp that's got a fairly decent amount of traffic. And off to the side of the road is a car with a guy who seems super desperate, okay? And he comes to my car because I pull over to see if he needs some help because he's on the side of the road and he seems sort of panicked. And it's a really public place, okay? And he points to his family back in the car. And there is a family of, there are some kids in the car. And he comes over and he's offering to sell me his jewelry because he's got an emergency. He's got to get a flight out and his car has broken down. And so I go into my wallet. I don't want his jewelry. He's offering to sell me his necklace, his watch. You guys see this whole scam unfolding in a way that's super obvious?
You'll never buy the jewelry.
My car broke down and I need to get a flight. That already doesn't make sense.
he was returning his rental car. He was in a panic.
Let me see the rental agreement.
What was the tag, Dano?
So you guys are going to ask all sorts of follow-up questions on the side of a highway. On the entrance ramp.
This guy looked desperate, though. Most of the time, they look real content on the side of the highway.
I would just kept driving.
Yeah, I'm out of there.
Huh, sounds like they have car problems.
I'm the only one.
Call AAA, buddy.
Okay, yeah. So.
Road Ranger.
All right.
I think you're also, like, you have the most, like, you're you come from wealth.
Yeah.
So I think you have, like, what am I going to do for the guy?
Come from wealth?
No, you don't come from wealth. I'm saying you have money.
He just said you have no street cred.
No, I'm saying you have money, so it's like for you. Like,
silver
spooner. What do you need?
I mean, to be fair, like this is what's so insidious about scammers, because people are way more skeptical of people that actually need help if you encounter them in the real world, which a lot of people genuinely need help, and you're just automatically your guard's up because there are so many people calling random women and saying, "Hi, I'm from the CIA. Can you put $50,000 in a shoebox, please, and deliver it to an unmarked car outside?"
I'll be honest with you. This story makes me angry for one reason and one reason only. And it's not that this woman was gullible or stupid or whatever, although she is. It's that easy to get $50,000, and I've been working this whole time like a dumbass, showing up to work and giving you guys entertainment and stuff and flying cross country. And meanwhile, I could just say, "Hey, I'm from the CIA."
A couple licks a year, you're good.
Oh, my God. Where do you think Stugatz is right now, by the way?
He's
on vacation. That 50K and he went out of here.
He took that, that book advance and disappeared for a week and put me, Greg Cody, and Andre Dawson on deadline.
I do think the real moral of the story here, never answer your phone.
Yes.
Never. First mistake. I will never answer an unknown call. Once she did that, I was like, I don't feel bad for
I won't answer a known call, because there was a point in the story where she said, "Prove that you are who you say you are." And he called her from a spoofed number and she said, "Hey, can't this be like a spoofed number?" And he was like, "Nope, you can't spoof a government agency." And she's like, "Well, all right, I'll take your word for it."
Oh, my God.
Like, no.
He also showed her the area code.
Again, though, I want to go back to my situation and the way that you guys are mocking me as if I'm the biggest fool in the world for thinking that a desperate father with kids in a mini or in a car, in a rental car, would be scared and worried on the side of the road.
It's gross what that guy's doing, by the way.
How much money did you give him?
I gave him $100.
Eh, not as bad as I thought. Yeah,
it's is what that I, all the keys it's, you had? It's or what was I, it no, like,
no,
you know what, you get
no. He, well, he was after I gave the 100 and he kept asking for more. I'm like, no.
Ooh, the radar went up. Wait a second.
I'm like, no, this is this right. Like, but it was urgent. It was so urgent that I felt. That's what the first time I felt the grift.
Like, I like you. Like the next day in the same traffic, and this guy's there again, and you're like, what the?
I'm then
still carrying cash, huh?
Let me
never have cash, never answer the phone.
And the kids are still there. The kids aren't kids.
They're see you guys later.
When he got me again with it the following Friday, I got suspicious.
That's when I knew.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I'm going to put off that Love is Blind conversation until tomorrow. I'm also, I think, going to put off that Beatles conversation. Aww. I don't know. We'll see if somebody wins an argument before the end of the show to have the conversation about a Beatles biopic that I thought was out already that's not coming out for 3 years.
Actually four biopics. Four.
Okay.
Mine's going to be boring.
Which one was that?
Yeah, which one was that? I'm Ringo.
Ringo.
Oh, you're Ringo. Oh, okay.
Who's going to watch mine?
And George Harrison. Huh?
I'm excited for Ringo's. Yeah. The TikTok kids are going to love Ringo.
Limited fake Ringo. Welcome to the
kinda
program.
Kind of sound like all of them.
You have 4 years to perfect the impersonation and see if it has more range than that. I wanted, though, to get into something that made me feel, as things often do these days, more and more ancient. I remember the first time I showed up on the set of Pardon the Interruption, Tony Kornheiser was already complaining about being old, and he's only gotten older since, and he's more and more of a curmudgeon. And I can't believe I am now him in this regard around here. Tony asked me before the show today, and he was serious about this. I know Pat Sajak is an old head, and he said once upon a time on this show, he said, you no longer have to learn anything. He was lamenting it. You just have to know how to find it. It's a new way of learning. But Tony asked me before the show today something that was legitimately stupefying to me, which is, how did you get to places before you had the internet to tell you when you were lost? He asked me, and it was genuine curiosity he had. And I looked at him and I'm like, you mean like a map? Like, or asking
a paper map.
Or asking directions?
You mean mapquest.com.
Tony, it was a crazy time, bro.
So it was born of this idea, right? So I had ordered a pizza the other day, and I just take for granted that they know the address to my house because they put it in their GPS and they show up 30 minutes later, here's your pie. So I was thinking, I was like, man, 1993, you call up your chain pizza store and be like, hey, I want two pepperoni like a Marlins
game. I want one shakaroni pizza.
I'm 6 years old after like, a Marlins what? Game, yep.
Yeah, like I want two pepperoni pies, send them to the house, you know, 8374 Southwest 837th Ave. And the guy's like, okay, be there in 30 minutes. They would make the pizza. Then a guy would get in the car
And just go
find your house. And 30 minutes later, hey, buddy, here's your pies. And it's like, how did you find
like,
me?
Like, does he look at the street number first? Like, what do you look at first?
So the street number tells you. The zip code tells you also. They have maps to tell you where certain street.
Hold on. Jessica, what are you laughing at so hysterically back there?
I think Chris Cody feels like a need to advance conversations in the show, but in doing so is playing a very dumb character. And lately he has been saying very stupid things and then reassuring all of us that he actually knows the answer to the stupid thing he just said, because I think he thinks that his on-show persona is now bleeding into our actual perceptions of him as a human being.
So he's making the joke on air for the audience, being a little dumber than he actually is.
What do you look at first, the street or the number? Does a zip code matter?
But Tony was asking legitimately before the show. He's looking at me stupefied. He wasn't doing content. He was asking as a genuine curiosity. Hey, caveman, back before you could just go to your phone and get to where you wanted to go. How did you do it? I lived it, and I would still explain to people, do you know how hard it was to connect with somebody outside of a stadium before cell phones if one of you was lost?
Oh, man.
Was mapping and driving a thing back then?
Yo.
Instead of texting and driving, it's like you're some guy's going down the street, and he's like,
yes.
I'm trying to
Lampoon.
Turn this light on. There's no flashlight. There's no phone light. National so it's Lampoon's like, push vacation. The button here. Let me angle it up.
People had physical maps in their cars.
No way.
Did your parents ever like put the fear in God in you that if you turned the light on inside your car, you were going to go to
federal
jail?
Federal prison if you turned on the light.
Mm-hmm. I believed that until very late, like until I was driving. I was like, turn the light off!
Is that what they
got pulled over?
They all did it to all of us.
Is that what that glove box is for? The maps?
Gloves.
No way.
Yeah.
People actually put gloves in there?
In colder cities, yes. But that's also, all right, let's ask these questions at Le Batard Show. Glove compartment, is it?
Should be a map compartment.
For your registration, for your gloves.
Or your weed.
Or for your pistola.
Or for your pistol.
The blicky.
I'd like to understand legitimately as I speak to some younger people, you're really confused about this. You don't know what it's like to just roll down your window and ask someone for directions in a neighborhood.
It's only more so for the pizza delivery guy.
That's the only guy.
That's where I'm like, so I was born in a generation where we had to learn the streets prior to the GPS coming out, right? So like, if you put me anywhere in Miami, I will figure out where to go and how to get back home. Because naturally, I know that Flagler, Zero Street, everything above is Northwest, everything below is Southwest, Crap, Court, Road,
no,
Avenue Place.
You know what?
I'm
going to stop you right here, Tony, and I'm going to make you, as an exercise, go with John Reed to Hialeah, where the streets have no names.
That's a different story, Dano.
And I'm, as a grid of death punishment, I'm going to Hialeah is famously, you don't know, the streets don't make any sense.
That is true.
And so if I put you in Hialeah, I could lose Tony for 3 days with John Reed.
Take their phones.
If I make,
sure.
Yes, I tell him, you cannot get out of here without a map. Find this location where my father ran a factory in Hialeah.
Huh?
You will get lost in the Everglades.
The problem is that it's like East 49th Street, but also 103rd Street on the same street. And they're like half and half on the
I've noticed that people from New York are better at this than most people. Like, I mean, talking to someone the other day about, like, where are you in New York? Oh, 34th and 50th.
No, but the streets make sense
but
there.
I'm just saying,
it's a grid system.
It's the easiest in New York.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's easy anywhere where it's a grid because Phoenix is a grid. So if someone gives me cross streets, I know exactly where they live. Like, it's all right, I'll find it.
When it's named streets, that's when you're cooked.
No, but Phoenix is named streets in a grid. But you can find it easy. If someone says, oh, I'm on the corner of Camelback and Central, like, I know exactly where that is.
Let's make a grid of death punishment, Tony. You have to create the content one day trying to get out of Hialeah without your phone. Because
it's a great idea.
Because it's the hardest.
Hialeah. Because it's the only place that doesn't coincide with the grid of Miami.
That makes no sense. You're on 49th Street 1 second, and now you're on 12th. And it doesn't make any sense. And it's because Jose said so.
So, Tony, is it because the pizza person has to know so many addresses that you're that impressed with him? Because you, as just a regular, you know, teenager, probably know where like your three best friends live,
sure,
and how to get there, you know, how to get to school, maybe basketball practice. But you're saying the pizza delivery person,
he knew everybody, so you would call
everyone.
And then sometimes he would know people by voice. Mm-hmm. Right, so my
dad
would call, hey Tony, all right, yeah, let's do it. And then like
you want a shakaroni pizza. Yeah,
things used to be different back
there
in the
used
day,
to be
Dana.
A creepy pizza lady that would come to my door, and my mom would be like, Chris, she wants to say hi to you, and she'd like pinch my cheeks and like, hi sonny, here's your cheese pizza.
You're gonna grow up to be so dumb one
day. That lady, I wonder where she is. That?
She's dead.
I have some
fire marshal Bill. Was the pizza delivery person?
It felt a little fire marshal Bill.
Let me give you something.
She's Irish now.
Now, Dan, you guys
would you like a shakaroni pizza?
You guys are impressed by the pizza delivery people. How about I yearn for a time when the cab driver or the driver of any sort, livery cab, whatever, knew how to get to places. Nowadays, these Uber drivers don't even know how to get to the airport. That's you don't need to know any other destination.
The most frustrating thing in my life right now is when an Uber driver is about to make a wrong turn.
Oh, yeah.
When I can see, like, our turn is like, no, it's up. It's a quarter mile. Why are we starting to turn now? And I'll just be like, no, it's the next one. Yeah. You guys do that move, or it's just like, it's
always.
Not,
you're passive.
I start to scratch the back of my head like I'm like accidentally saying it. Like, it's actually up there.
The thing is, Dan, you know when there's routes, since you live at your house, mm-hmm. you know that there's specific ways to go at specific times. And sometimes the GPS will put you in a shit way mm-hmm. where it's like, I know I can't go down the street at mm-hmm. this time. We got to go the other way. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell the guy, hey, don't listen to the GPS. I'll tell you where to
go. I got reprimanded by my wife and a friend the other day because I told the UPS driver, you're going the wrong way. And they both said, let him do his job.
Why were you in the UPS truck?
I'm sorry, an Uber driver.
Wow.
I had Dan
another scam. Okay, yes.
Wow. I was tricked. Damn. I was tricked. I was in an Uber.
That's exactly what I was.
He told you, hey, I'll take that box over there, that door.
I would have said, why am I in this truck?
What came around for you?
I called an Uber, and then the UPS truck shows up.
He opened his back door and just walked right in.
You did a shift with a UPS driver?
I'm going to start opening shit, I swear to God.
Valentine's Day gift yourself.
Dan came home wearing brown shorts.
What can Brown do for you, Dano?
Can you guys explain to me why it is that that pizza is the great unifier? Because I think pizza might have to be the greatest of all the things. Where Jessica, the way that she lit up at the idea of the childhood her ordering a
shakaroni pizza.
Shakaroni
pizza.
Okay. The delight that came over you with that, I wonder if the thing that we all love the most is pizza together. It's the greatest thing.
It's the all-time, it's the number one seed in terms of you want to have a food that almost everybody can enjoy.
I'm not even talking about food. I'm talking about a thing.
Wow.
Is pizza the greatest?
The number one seed of everything?
Is pizza the greatest thing? Is pizza?
Sex, if we...
It's just like pizza.
Wow, you just cut him off on that one.
He just gave up.
Can we cut that noise, please?
Yeah, sex would like a word. Oh. Okay, it's probably better, but not for
me. Dan just goes,
Pizza. I mean, pizza's just, I love pizza.
Pizza with sex.
Winning the lottery?
Okay, food. Fine.
Good pizza over the lottery.
Food. I'm rattled because everywhere now I see a scam. It's how Stu Gatz has gotten away with it all these years. He is the guy on the side of that road trying to sell me jewelry.
A book that's still unwritten.
So is that possible? He has had giant meetings with Skipper and publishing companies. He's got a giant publisher. How is his book not written?
He's number one on Amazon.
How is his book not written? And he's, I've got things to do. I don't have time. It hurts.
It would
be
another scam on you, Dan.
1,000 words.
You should have someone else write it for you because it's Stu Gatz. Like, you know, I feel like there's some.
He won't read it. Yeah, he won't know.
That's a good idea.
You want me to write it? I'll write it for
you. ChatGPT.
I'm not doing that.
I have Chris write it. I have spelling mistakes and stuff. Backwards S.
A book that's still unwritten.
It's number one on Amazon. It can't be number one. What obscure category?
In the category of unwritten, but still yet available for purchase.
And the only one. It's a one of a kind book, right? Not written by its author.
Sports essays, I believe. Number one sports essay.
How? How?
A book that's still unwritten.
It's because I'm the sucker.
Don Lebatard.
He said while you were off there, while the connection was bad, he had mentioned that you have lost a lot of weight and that he admires that. What got into you? Why did you decide? I thought it was all, I thought we enjoyed being about the munching.
Yeah.
Oh, it's slurring again. Okay, the connection is bad again, unfortunately.
Back to Magnus.
Okay, back to Magnus for Magnus. And this is going about as well as it could go. Thank you, Billy, again for laughing in my face.
Stu Gatz.
Magnus. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, sir, action.
Hello?
Action.
Man, I'm really sorry. This is literally the worst way to ever do this. This is burning my heart that this is happening. But if you could hear me, just understand, I'm sorry.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stu Gatz.
Oh.
Fraud.
Oh.
All right, I'm not as good at this as Mike is.
Oh.
At least you're on beat.
Oh, that sound right there. And these are my senses dulling. I used to be an accomplished debater of sports things back when I was sharp. But that's the sound of me getting checkmated when I was trying to argue pizza is the best thing and Chris checkmated me with sex is better. Sex. That's the sound.
Sex would like a word is what he says.
Sex would like a word, and I had no answers for that after trying to to summon the contrivance of is pizza the best thing? It is.
I mean, it's great.
It is.
In the non-sex category.
It is in the non-sex category, but just conversationally as a topic, it's stupid.
Oh.
But true. I think we can agree on pizza almost more than anything. We can't agree on sex as much as we can agree on pizza.
Oh. Just, that's true.
Just generally. But Jessica introduced me to a type of pizza I did not know existed. So forgive me for not knowing. I have not been listening to any of those advertisements that Shaq is in for the pizza commercials. So I know he's involved with pizza, but I have no idea. I've never listened to one of those ads.
Shaqaroni.
You are looking right now at the one and only Shaqaroni pizza.
How did they get so many pepperonis it's close to the crust like that?
A shit ton of pepperoni.
It's never happened before.
I went into Papa John's and I said, we need more pepperoni.
No, the funny thing about this is that doesn't happen if Papa John doesn't say the N-word.
I don't need pep on my crust.
Oh. What? Whoa.
Wait, Roy's doing the domino meme where like the tiny domino is Papa John saying the N-word and then the giant one is Shaq makes his own custom pizza.
How about Chris Cody not listening at all?
Yeah, that was bad timing
to
by
the
me.
Last word that Roy said. Not listening at
all. Chris, what were you listening to?
I was like, Roy's probably not going to go anywhere controversial. I'm just going to get in right after this line.
It's the perfect reaction, though.
Oh.
See?
What did I say? Yeah,
What did you say? I don't know what you
Chris,
said.
I said one of the dumbest things ever.
He yelled a very strong pepperoni opinion.
I said, I don't need pep on my crust. And yet no one heard it. Yeah. Thanks, Roy.
You're welcome.
Because you know what? You're going to complain that none of us heard you after you didn't listen at all to what Roy said?
The comedic part of it was me calling it pep. I don't need any pep on my crust.
Pep Guardiola.
Let me make an apology here to the audience. And Amin, help me with this as by way of transition, because this show for me and for us has largely been for many, many years something that I imagine as audio where we don't act like we know that we're being watched. But sometimes we're just watching videos here lately as we transition to a video company that doesn't want to. Like, I don't know. I do not want to alienate our core base of audio audience. And sometimes now I'm asking you to go watch on YouTube if you want a supplemental experience. But I always like to think of this as audio first. And so what I'm asking you is I've got two videos here of Madonna falling out of a chair and an NYPD dance team that embarrasses Jessica and Lucy and some others around here. But I have not seen any of this video. These are just recent viral videos, and I don't know how to do this as audio without alienating the audio audience.
If I may, I think we can use our descriptive talents to let people know what's happening in the videos. But before we do that, I just want to put out there, you just said pizza is the greatest thing. Chris countered sex is the greatest thing. I want to counter with my own, which is people falling down. The greatest. It's so funny. Because, and I'll tell you why it's funny. In every video of someone falling down, there is one last desperate gasp of a limb trying to grab onto any stability possible. And that's when I lose it. I have a friend who was judging me on this. Like, how can you, what do you think those people falling down videos, that's funny to you? And I said, hilarious. Because of that desperate grasp.
Put it on the poll, Juju. What's the best thing? Pizza, sex, or people falling down? Because it's a hell of a nominee. Can anyone put a fourth in this category? Because I think we've closed the categories, because that's a hell of a nominee. But can you answer my question?
How do we not alienate the audience?
Alien? Yeah. Alien Gonzalez?
By playing Adrian, videos that amigo, they can't see.
Miami,
talk
contigo.
I'm not doing well. I have two video here.
I tried to come in and help Amin, and it didn't
but
work.
But we'll play by play. I told you, we'll do play by play. It's all right. We're pretty good describers of things, right?
All right, let's.
Oh, not really.
Let's go first to Madonna, please, falling off of a chair. I have been amazed by her career, the number of times she has reinvented herself. But this is not her falling off of a chair. That is her dancer failing her.
She saved it there with that roll. Now she's like, that was all on purpose.
The dancer, man, he's like a virgin. It was like his very first time ever pulling her off her chair.
Oh, wow.
That you know what?
Yeah. Really?
Restaurant Isla Bonita.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't feel like
it. I didn't see it coming.
Whoa, whoa. That's what I felt.
You're really overworked, Jess. It sounds like you need a holiday.
So true.
Oh, my God.
It does look like one of the legs snaps in half, though.
Well, but I know people like to make fun of Madonna performing at 65, but I can't help but be amazed by the fact that she's out here still making relevant art 50 years into her career, 40 years into her career. It's crazy.
My friend Priya just saw her at MSG and said her show was fantastic, Dan. So
is your friend Priya now the new Charlotte Priya. Wilder? Is that what's happened here? Why are we making so many mentions of your friend Priya?
She's awesome. Have you ever met Priya?
She mentioned Charlotte a lot and now she works here. So I guess Priya will be here
subliminal?
Soon.
That's what's,
that'd be great.
That's a great tactic. That's a good job by you, Jess. Because look, Charlotte's awesome too, and now she's here. Priya's awesome.
Yeah. I got an idea.
What's that, Chris?
Oh, wow.
Oh, Dan, you know what that means. It is time for an abbreviated version of
Against the Spread.
Against the Spread is brought to you by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more.
It's loud.
Too loud.
Thursday Thunder, it's tomorrow. Against the Spread is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer through the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Abbreviated version, let's go to Tony.
That's the least graceful that's ever been done.
We're trying to get through it quick, Dano. We've got the Knicks and the 76ers tomorrow. Taking the Knicks on a pick'em on the road.
Lucy, what are you going with?
I'm taking Penn State +7.5 against Illinois. Big Ten has been a gauntlet this year. Purdue lost, Ohio State, Wisconsin lost. Ranked team's not doing well.
The rare good gauntlet.
Okay.
Do we have any more games?
Nope, that's it.
I guess that's bro.
Good enough.
Okay, that's the worst we've ever done that.
Or quickest.
Why?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.